Welcome to episode 5 of the Phil and Will Show. We are in the aftermath of the Phil and Will Bowl, and I, even though it didn't work out in my favor, I just get some joy knowing that Will was sweating sitting in his apartment there, wherever the hell he was. He was definitely sweating at least a little bit. And for a moment, for the briefest of moments, I said, holy shit, we might actually go to the Super Bowl. But here we are. We're talking about the Phil and Will Bowl. We'll be talking about the Super Bowl a little bit. If you got any other topics you want us to cover, throw them on in the chat. We're down to talk about pretty much anything. This is going to be one of the more loosey-goosey episodes that we've had in this series, because so much of this is going to be about how my Detroit Lions gagged on their way to their loss against the San Francisco 49ers. Let's be real. The Detroit Lions lost that football game more than the San Francisco 49ers won that football game.
Yeah, I think that's fair. But like the Niners also lost it early. Like they were playing like absolute dog shit in the first half. And the Lions were playing great, so you got to give them credit. It was a total sweat. The game was insane. I think one of the most insane things about it is that the Lions were just like moving the ball so easily and just dominating in every fashion in the first half, at least on that side of the ball. When the Lions had the ball, it looked so easy for them to move the ball and score that we were really doing nothing to slow them down. And that this lead always, the lead only got up to 17. It never really, never got past that. And then by the time it was a tied game, it was in the third quarter.
It was still like third quarter, yeah.
That's what was so crazy. It wasn't like, oh my gosh, the Niners finally clawed all the way back by the end of the fourth quarter. It's like, no, the Niners, we tied the game in the third, and then, you know, halfway through the fourth, we're covering the spread. I mean, I had Niners minus 7.5, not a ton on it, but I was like, wow, we might cover this game. Are you kidding me? When we were down 17 points and we're going to cover 7.5. So I think that part was crazy. It was just a total, I mean, a tale of two halves, completely, completely different.
Yeah. And I will always defend Dan Campbell at this point. Okay. I'm going to defend him because at this point he is the greatest coach in Lions franchise history. There's no denying it. Because of what he was able to do in just three seasons. Wayne Fontes, sure, maybe you can say that. And we can go all the way back to the 50s. I'm talking in the Super Bowl era, in the era that people actually consider NFL. Nobody cares that the Lions won the 1957 NFL championship. They don't care. It's all about Super Bowls. That's what people are focused on. And that sucks for the Lions that this isn't like baseball where World Series has always been the World Series. It sucks that it was the NFL championship and now it's Super Bowl and you've never been to a Super Bowl because nobody cares that you did any of that other stuff. So in the Super Bowl era, Dan Campbell's the best coach we've ever had. You have to live and die with what Dan Campbell does. Dan Campbell's the reason we lost this football game. I will say that. And here's why. A lot of people, Josh Reynolds sucked. Dropping passes left and right, whatever. But here's the deal. The Niners come out and put together a great drive to start the third quarter. Great drive.
It was okay.
No, they walked right down the field, and then they stalled, and the Lions stopped them, held them to a field goal. It's a 14-point game. The Lions then walked down the field. No pressure at all. Walked right down the field, and they got it to 4th and 2 with a 44-yard field goal with about 6 minutes left in the third quarter. If Dan Campbell kicks that field goal and makes it, the Lions are winning by 17. 9 minutes have gone off the clock in the third quarter and nothing has happened. Nothing has happened. It's the same spread as it was at the end of the first half. Now, Brock Purdy, who I think, look, I'm not a Brock Purdy hater. There's so many Brock Purdy haters out there. It's so stupid. But Brock Purdy is still a young quarterback. Now he starts to feel the pressure of, I only have 20 minutes to make up 3 scores. That is a lot scarier than I have 20 minutes to score 2 touchdowns. That's a lot different, especially with how the Lions are moving the ball. Kick the field goal, go up 17. Being up four, the difference between 17 and 21 isn't much. The difference between 14 and 17 is the difference between a 5-minute possession. You need to do that, because then what happened was they don't kick the field goal. The Niners get that crazy catch by Ayuk that goes off the face mask, and Jahmyr Gibbs finally shows that he's a rookie and fumbles at the start of the next drive, and it was over. It's amazing the Lions only lost that game by 3. Really, they didn't lose it by 3. They lost it by more. But then again, later in the game, it's 27-24 with a chance to kick the field goal. And what does Dan Campbell do? He goes for it. If you kick both of those field goals, even if you don't trust your kicker and you only make one of them, you are tied down 7 now with however many minutes left, driving to tie the game or potentially win. Instead, you're driving at the end of the game to go down by three. You've already lost the game. Kick the field goals. I am all about him being aggressive. It's what the Lions have needed this entire season. And like, it changed the culture there, which is great. But there's a difference between playing conservative and playing smart. When you have a 17-point lead in the second half of a NFC championship game, play it smart. That doesn't mean conservative. It just means you're doing the things that are right to win this game by any means necessary. And he didn't do that.
Yeah. I mean, I still think like Goff puts the pass. I know it wasn't a perfect pass, but it hits Josh Reynolds in the hands. Right. If he catches that, which he absolutely should have, he wasn't even covered that well. I mean, maybe he heard footsteps, but it's not like the Niners were draped all over him. Like, he had some room. He was open. It was a good play call. Goff put it where he needed to for an NFL receiver in a big game to make that play. That's why they get paid so much money. And I just feel like if he completes that and you guys drive down the field, even taking up more clock and settle for a field goal, or what's more likely is that you find a way to get into the end zone, then you're on your way to a Super Bowl. And I think that's what people are like absolutely like not taking into account, that like if you score a touchdown there, you're up 21. And now you're at however many minutes are left. What'd you say, Phil?
It's about six minutes. So it'd be maybe three,
probably
or four.
Five. Yeah, maybe you kill some clock too. You run the ball. You have Montgomery and Gibbs. I mean, it seemed like Gibbs could just run all the way out to the sideline and just burn, put the burners on. We'd have our D line did not play well. I mean, Chase Young, a lot of times you see him like running up the middle towards Goff, or thinking it'd be an inside handoff, and then Gibbs is just running all the way to the sideline and cutting up the field for like 8 yards every play. And I think that's what's lost in all this conversation. You can say, yeah, it's smarter to take the points. Sure. It's only a 44-yard field goal. Sure. But man, if you miss that field goal.
If you miss the field goal, though, you're in the same position you are by not converting the fourth down. But the thing is,
at least you're owning like, hey, let's go for it. And you don't convert. It's like, I got the balls. I'm doing this. When you play scared, when you play more conservative and it still doesn't work, then it's kind of like, oh.
Yeah, but the thing is, that's under the assumption that he's going to miss that field goal. That's a field goal that is. So here's the truth, right? In this situation, that is a field goal that will be made 93% of the time. That's a fourth down that will be converted 60% of the time. Take the points. You're up three scores. Between 17 and 21.
I think 93% is far too high. Where'd you get that number from? I mean, that's a young kicker. He's not known for being, I know he went to Miami, he go Hurricanes, but he's not known for being like a stud, big leg knockdown kicker. And in an environment like that on the road in a playoff game, I don't care how far you've hit it in warmups or what you're, percentage has been in the regular season. That is a high pressured field goal in a major moment. I don't think you can chalk that up to 93%. But more importantly, what I'm saying is if you are able then to convert that that fourth down, which should have been converted with the play call, right? But like we can't state that enough. Then you score. You were up 21 with 2 or 3 minutes left in the third quarter. Like that's the players at some point have to make the plays on the field. And I get that it's overly aggressive and that I get what everyone's saying, but just like, man, if we're sitting here on the Phil and Will show episode 5, or maybe I should give some credence to like, all right, you're on ESPN, you're on First Take the next day. And the Lions do convert that. Josh Reynolds does catch that pass because he was open and the pass did hit him in the hands. You have everyone being like, man, you gotta love Dan Campbell's energy. Yeah. He's taking the Lions to the Super Bowl for the first time and however many 50 year first time ever going to the Super Bowl. It's because he trusts his team, he trusts his players, he's calling plays, knowing that he's going to go for it on fourth down, which opens up the offense, and on third, which actually, you know, really makes the defense struggle because you don't know exactly what they're doing. Like, you don't know they're gonna pass in a passing situation. Greg Olson brought that up about 15 times on the broadcast, but it does make it harder for the defense because if you don't know what they're doing on third down, it's like, shit, I don't know. If you're going to play two downs of offense more, it makes it trickier to defend. So I think he would be getting so much praise and so much love. And we'd be talking about, you know, screw the analytics, or is this the new way to play football, or like all these hot takes.
I mean, screw the analytics.
And it comes down to just, the ball hit his hands and he didn't catch. So it's like so results based. It's so looking at what is our result? The Lions make the Super Bowl? No. So it doesn't work. The Lions make the Super Bowl. Wow. What a coaching job by Dan Campbell.
Again, I go back to the situation and I just think the situation called for just taking the points in all likelihood. Okay. 93%. I'm getting that from kickers of 45 yards and under in professional are like 93%. Like that's what the chances of them making it are. Badgley is very good inside of 50. I'm talking about in this circumstance up 14 with the ability to go up 17 on something. It's much more likely that you're going to make that field goal than that you're going to pick up the first down. That's just a fact. That is a fact. And that's not analytics. Maybe it is analytics, but that's literally just looking at statistics. Is the stats say a 44 yard field goal is easier than a 4th and 3.
Right. That, but that's not even with those percentages, that's not all you're factoring in, because then you're factoring in.
You have to factor in that Josh Reynolds can't catch. You do have to remember that. That might not have been factored into the percentage.
Has that been okay?
But then so that's why you can't.
You can't factor that in because I feel like he's been a pretty good receiver all season. I know Allen Ra is your stud guy who gets all the love, but I would take Josh Reynolds over props throughout the season here and there, and I feel like a few of those hit. Like I feel like he wasn't some nobody.
How much you down on the year? Was it because of Josh Reynolds? Is that what you're trying to say?
No.
not his fault. I do think like Josh Reynolds, the moment was too big for Josh Reynolds, because we saw that on the 3rd and 10 when the score was tied at 24 and he had a chance to extend the drive and he just dropped it, hit him right in the breadbasket. And that's where I don't use this phrase, but if you think Jared Goff played poorly in the second half, you don't know ball. Right. Like I hate using that phrase. That phrase is so stupid. And people use that like when they literally don't have an argument and they're clueless. So they try to pretend you're clueless. But Jared Goff played phenomenally the entire game. He can't help it that his receivers all of a sudden got a case of the dropsies. That just happened. And we saw Mahomes have that happen in week 1 against the same Lions team. His team got a case of the dropsies and they lose by 1. If his receivers catch the balls that he's throwing perfect, they win that game. The frustrating part as a Lions fan, and look, I think the Lions, they're keeping offensive coordinator Ben Johnson. Whew, that makes my heart happy, because that's what I was concerned, is they were going to lose him and that was going to change everything. Gibbs is back. Laporta is back. Amon-Ra is back. The whole offensive line is going to be back. Maybe
you have so many young, amazing players.
Is back. The defense is back. The defense is only going to get better, because you're going to keep Hutchinson. You're going to keep Brian Branch. Probably going to keep one of CJ Gardner-Johnson, and Cam Sutton can go. He sucks. But like, our team is so young. So to keep the offensive coordinator, who is the key piece right now, and have Dan Campbell and all that, we are going to be good next year. We are. I was concerned after this. If we lose Ben Johnson, now you're trying to run a new offense, and sometimes it just doesn't click that first year. But we are going to be good next year. The frustrating part about this game was we were the better team.
You guys had it.
We were the better team. Everything, because Will, we were talking about this. If you think about, look, luck is a part of the game, right? Luck is a part of life. Luck is something that happens. But if you think about this game, the Lions drives in the first half were perfection. The Niners drive where they scored a
good touchdown. One punt, I think.
Yeah, I think it was one punt. But in the second half, the Lions drove the ball well twice and scored no points. And then they scored the touchdown at the end. The Niners had that throw off the face mask. That was caught
crazy.
The Jawan Jennings.
Wait. But on that one, I have not heard a ruling on this one. There was a flag thrown.
Do you think they would have called the PI?
I wonder if they call PI if Ayuk doesn't catch it. I think once Ayuk catches it, they're like, oh, we can pick this up, because they're not going to take the, you know, we don't need to have a controversial thing out here. Let's just act like this never happened. So I don't know. I feel like I keep hearing this lucky thing. And if you watch the play, there is some contact. I don't think it's not that bad at PI. I mean, there was a little bit of contact.
I don't know if they would have called it. He definitely pushed off, but he was making a play on the ball. So I don't know if they would consider that.
It was close, but it's so weird. It's so weird when they pick up flags, because it's like, what happened? Like, what if you saw it? You threw it, especially with a call like PI. You either see it or you don't, and you throw the flag. I think there's some flags like intentional grounding where it's like, oh, the ball actually did cross the line of scrimmage. All right, let's pick that flag up. Or, oh, you know, the ball was tipped, so let's pick that up. But picking up a PI flag, it's like you don't –
I think the reason I'm there was so much contact, but because if you – like – he gets his hands firmly on the ball. Even though there's a lot of contact, he's looking up as he's making the contact, trying to make a play. So I think that's where they will give the benefits out to receivers and defenders in that situation. So I think the ref throws that flag because he sees the contact. I think they huddle up and say, look, he was trying to catch it. So you got to kind of give him that. The fact that IU caught that, though, is insane. And that was just, that just spelled the doom. And then for Jahmyr Gibbs to fumble on the first play after that. Well, it's just crazy. Disaster. And that's not luck. That's not luck. But it just was every break was going the 49ers way in the second half. And the Lions still didn't look that bad.
What's crazy was after the IU play, it's like we got first and goal because the defender like grazes Ayuk's like leg, like barely, yeah. Or else that's a touchdown. And we got all the moment. Hey, that was a first and goal, nothing really going. That drive there, just that little series, it took until third down for Purdy to find Ayuk in the end zone again. Like, yeah. Even that was tight. It's like, and oh my God. The defense
was actually good on that play, too. They just didn't break fast enough.
No, it was, I mean, no, they were, I was worried. I'm like, holy shit. Did Ayuk just make this play and we're going to have to settle for a field goal or go for it on fourth and get stopped? I was like, we need to get in the end zone. That's when I was absolutely maybe sweating the hardest, because I think at halftime, I was like, man, this felt fluky to me at halftime, just because it's like, we're not this much worse than the Lions. And hey, yeah. You can say we look bad. Lions look like a better team. The Lions made it look really easy. But it's like, look, we've watched a whole season of football. And I'm like, we are not like, we're not 24-7. That's not where we're at. And
at home.
And it's like this, I'm like, we are going to put some things together. I really wasn't worried about the offense. I mean, our first drive, we went down, settled for a field goal attempt. Moody misses the field goal. What was that, Phil? Was that a 93% chance of going in?
No, because Moody sucks. I even knew
Moody does. But that was like, what, a 45-yard field goal? Like,
yeah, here's the difference, too. I know Michael Badgley's young, but Moody's a literal rookie.
Yeah, he
and
is.
Moody's had problems all year. Moody hasn't
had that. It's weird. Sometimes he'll like hit like 50-yarders, no problem. It's like the 40, the ones that are close to 40. And then like obviously 30, but I think
stats right now, he's actually only attempted 25 field goals this year. He's 4 of 6 on 40 to 49-yard field goals. And he's missed one from inside of 40, which is pretty crazy. So
that's where I think, which one was the Cleveland one where
that was the one that was within 40. Yeah.
That might have been 39 yards or 43 yards, whatever it is. But the offense didn't look all that bad. And then, yeah, Purdy had the pick. And if you look at that pick, you're like, wow, Purdy sucks. Who is he throwing it to? You zoom in, it's a tip ball right when he throws it, and like, yeah, it sails, yeah. and it's a pick. So I'm like, okay, that's kind of a fluky interception. It's not like he made a bad read. It's just like, hey, our O-line kind of let a guy sneak in and get his hand on the ball. Mm-hmm. And then the missed field goal. We did have the touchdown. So it was like, okay, I can see the offense clawing back. What we needed to fix was the defense. And so that's what I was worried about going in. And then for us to get all the way down with that crazy IU play and still not be able to just punch it in, I was like, running up the middle with McCaffrey. We still had to throw for it. So, man, that was scary. The Gibbs one, the Gibbs fumble,
he messed up and went the wrong direction.
He was running the wrong direction. So you guys were all out of sorts, and that either was communication or pressure or the moment, whatever. And then, you know, the Niners did actively punch that one out.
And then you get the Juwan Jennings pass after that, though. And then you have the Josh Reynolds drop on the next drive.
Let's talk about the Juwan Jennings pass, because I think that's probably the most underrated, under-highlighted play of the game. So whenever you have a big win like this, I don't know if you do this, Phil, it's like you go to ESPN, you watch SportsCenter, because they're doing all the highlights, they're doing the press conferences, the interviews, and then you leave it on, you're happy, and then like eventually you're like, wait a second, have I seen this before? And you're realizing that you're into the SportsCenter loop where it's just playing on repeat. Mm-hmm. The fact that that Juwan Jennings' third down play was not in the highlight package, it was not in the full-length highlight package for that NFC Championship game. And I'm not talking like a 30-second or 45-second highlight. I think this is like the full story of the game, and they start in the second half, but it's like 3 minutes, 4 minutes long, and that play's not in there is crazy, because that play was so good. And I know it was an amazing catch, but Purdy gets the guy to bite because – the defender for Juwan Jennings steps up to Purdy thinking that he's going to, because he would scramble for those yardage and would have gotten the first down if the guy didn't step up, leaving a little pocket. And then it's just, he floats it over. It was a great pass, great catch. That's one of my favorite plays of the game for sure.
It's funny. You know why they don't want to show that, Will? Because let's say Patrick Mahomes made that same pass, which he did against the Baltimore Ravens, and Travis Kelce caught a diving ball instead of a jump ball like that. But Mahomes threw it across his body and stuff.
That was a great play by Mahomes, though.
Okay, yeah, great play by Mahomes. That's amazing. Man, Mahomes is incredible. I love Mahomes. We can't talk positively about Brock Purdy. For some reason, he's not the underdog that we should be rooting for. He's a system quarterback. We don't like him. He stinks. He's only good because of Debo. He's only good because of McCaffrey. Whatever. It's the same argument around Tom Brady, right? Tom Brady was a system quarterback. He was only good because of Belichick. And then he goes to Tampa and he wins, what, 2 Super Bowls with Tampa, or one and gets to one. Another? Yeah. But
no, he just goes to one. But yeah.
He just went to one.
But he won it.
He won it. He beat the Chiefs. He beat the shit out of the Chiefs. But it's like nobody wants to talk about when Purdy makes those crazy throws. And you know why this annoys me and why I'm very susceptible to like being triggered by this is because this was the Matthew Stafford storyline in Detroit. Early on in his career, Matt Stafford would make all these throws, these ridiculous passes, and nobody – it was because he had Calvin Johnson. It was because of this. It was because of that. Now, all of a sudden, he gets traded to the Rams, and look at his throwing angle. He can throw it from anywhere. He's incredible, blah, blah, blah. Purdy right now, they just don't want to admit is a good quarterback. And by they, I mean the media does not want to admit he's a good quarterback. And I don't know why. It's one of the great underdog stories in the history of sports. And we don't want to admit that it's a good storyline. And that's why I think this Juwan Jennings pass is being overlooked, because Juwan Jennings isn't a household name. If that ball was caught by Debo Samuel in the same way, they'd be talking about what an amazing play Debo Samuel made bailing out Brock Purdy and not be talking
about it. Right, and I get it was a great catch. But yeah, it's like he also could only put it in one spot up high. He had to get it over the first defenders and allow Juwan Jennings. You know, these are NFL athletes. You have to place the ball where they can get to it, and you trust them to make the plays. And also with Purdy, it's like if you look across the NFL, there aren't that many good quarterbacks. So it's like even my argument's like, hey, you say he's a system quarterback, like so what? Like
Jared Goff's a system quarterback at this point.
You know how many
at the championship?
You know how many quarterbacks in this league that like can't even make it to that level?
Yeah.
Like you think Zach Wilson, is he a system quarterback? Like probably not. Mac Jones. Yeah, Sam Darnold, we don't know. Probably not. I mean, we've seen him play. We haven't seen him play with the Niners. I mean, we did see him in the Rams game of the week 18.
Kenny Pickett. Everybody in Pittsburgh wishes Kenny Pickett could be a system quarterback.
Yeah. No, it's like you see all these failures across the league from these young, you know, first, second, third year players. And so it's like, what? Is Purdy a top 10 quarterback in the league? Maybe that's probably. I mean,
he's, I think it was because he was in the MVP conversation for so much of the year. That's why people want to hate on him right now.
I think that makes sense. Like they're like, he doesn't deserve the MVP because I don't know why not. His passing numbers were absolutely insane. And he was throwing the ball farther than Mahomes was in his MVP years. Like his air yards per attempt was farther. And it's like, yeah, he's got great players, but you're in the NFL.
Well, and what makes me laugh, though, right, is if they want to make the argument that Purdy shouldn't have been in that conversation, why wasn't Jared Goff in the conversation all year? He had almost the same exact stat line as Brock Purdy, ended up with the same record as Brock Purdy, and he doesn't have Christian McCaffrey. He's thrown to a bunch of rookies and Amon-Ra. And Amon-Ra is great, but everybody else on his offense is young. But they don't even talk about Jared Goff. Why? Because they don't want to. Jared Goff's not flashy. Jared Goff is not exciting. And that's fine with me. Like, I'm okay with that. I think the Lions next year. So, like, I start thinking about this, right? I look at their schedule. They got to play the first place schedule. It's a tough schedule because now you got to play. You're going to have to play Tampa Bay, you know, whatever. That's, you know, not that big of a deal. I want to pull up the actual opponent so I can have it in front of me. But it's like, when I look at this, Chicago's probably going to be better because Justin Fields isn't that good, but their defense is very good. Minnesota should be better because Kirk Cousins will be back. Jordan Love already proved that he's pretty good. We'll see if he has a hangover next year. They're going to be hosting the Rams, Seattle, Jacksonville, Tennessee, Tampa Bay, and Buffalo. They got to go on the road to Chicago, Green Bay, Minnesota. We talked about those. Arizona, Houston, Indianapolis, San Fran, and Dallas. It's a tough schedule. What do you set the over-under at? 9.5? Okay, that sounds about fair. I love that. Good. Think the Lions aren't going to be that good. Because what I saw in that game, and a lot of people are taking the other approach of this, what I saw in that game was a team that did belong and was ready. But then in the second half, everything that it was one of those games, you get blitzed, right? That's what they basketball players. That's what they would always call it when I was working at the one college. They'd say you get blitzed. You come at a halftime, you're tight with the team and you get blitzed. The Miami Hurricanes against the Kansas Jayhawks in the Elite Eight a couple of years ago, 2 years ago now, they got blitzed. They were down two at halftime and all of a sudden they lose by 40 points. And they're the only team, the underdog that weekend that didn't cover the spread, but they were the only one that was close at halftime. That's what happened to the Lions here, but they're ready. They're good. And those rookie mistakes, those young person mistakes,
oh, this is good for you. This is great for you. I mean, you see this with a lot of teams. It's not that often where you see a team just like rise up and win right away when they become good their first time. Like, it's very rare for that to happen. I think, I mean, as a Warriors fan, people point to the 2015 Warriors as a team that kind of came out of nowhere. But I mean, we had several playoff series, like we had a couple of playoff series against the Clippers, like seven game series, games against the Spurs, the Nuggets, like early on 2012, 2013, 2014, losing playoff series as like a six seed or a seven seed. And then it clicks and then you have that playoff experience behind you. I mean, look at the Niners. We've been to the NFC Championship, at least with this Shanahan team. This is our fourth championship game in 5 years, and we are 2-2 in those championships game. I'm hoping this is the time we can get over the hump, but it's like you don't think that Kittle and Debo and Bosa like they don't remember losing the Super Bowl to the Chiefs. Like, that's gonna fuel them so much, and like that experience of going through a Super Bowl and losing it already, like, I really do think that's a big reason why the Niners might be, you know, some my people think it's odd, but they are favored in this game against the Chiefs, especially after those two games on Sunday. And we will talk about the lines and everything. I guess one more point on this game, and I don't know if you want to talk about the Chiefs Ravens game. We can touch
Chiefs
on
are
it.
Better. That's it.
Yeah. But man, Purdy's legs. Like, that's
the difference. And that's what I said to you the whole time, right? The Lions cannot cover mobile quarterbacks. They've never been able to, and that was the difference in this game.
And but it's like his decision making on when to do it and like exactly like where to go with the ball and just picky, like he's in the pocket, he's dodging, he's ducking. That one, I think it was in the third quarter. The one in the third quarter on that third down was incredible. I think he went like 20 yards.
And that was where Aiden Hutchinson reached back. And if Aiden Hutchinson makes that tackle, the Lions very well. Again, that's another game changing moment that
huge
was
play.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, we talked about the Juwan Jennings pass. That was Purdy's legs also, because he was threatening to scramble and that's what allowed him to get open. So, I mean, if you want to call a system quarterback game manager, I think fine when passing the ball, but he is like, he really took over the second half with his legs, and you got to at least give him credit for that. Like, that's all, it's not a system. Okay. That is the dude. That's the guy running. He's not throwing it to anyone else. He has the ball. He's getting 50 yards on the ground. And I told you, Phil, right after we finished the Phil and Will show, or maybe this was – no, this is our Second Chances podcast we did Sunday morning of the game. We finished the podcast. You said, what bet are you going to put in? I said, I like Purdy for over 2.5 rushing attempts.
Yeah.
That was my favorite bet of the day. So, so cash that one.
And for everybody who wants to insult, you know, what is he a game manager, or is he this, that, whatever – would you rather be the San Francisco 49ers or Brock Purdy or the Baltimore Ravens with Lamar Jackson? Because I don't think Lamar Jackson's ever making a Super Bowl. And I know our buddy Nick Snyder here, who's a patron, and I don't think he's one with the stone. Maybe he is, but he's in here talking. And I know Nick listens to this all the time. He's a huge Ravens fan. I don't know if Lamar Jackson's ever going to do it. So, like, my thing is, give me a player like Brock Purdy who can make the plays he needs to make in these types of games and get the job done.
Did Purdy have more rushing yards than Lamar? So even like Lamar's thing that he's good at and known for.
No, I think Lamar went over 60, didn't he?
I don't know. I feel like
Purdy. He didn't. You're right, because I had him over 60 and he didn't get there.
Yeah. So it's like Purdy was got more rushing yards than Lamar. I mean, what would have those odds been? We're going to look at who's going to have the more rushing yards. He took Purdy. Yeah. I mean, that's probably good action right there. I think Lamar can make it. Man, that Chiefs defense, suffocating. It was weird, though, because you do look at that Ravens team, you're like, okay, they shut out Patrick Mahomes in a half of football. in loss. They shut them out, right? Or was there?
Yeah, no, the Chiefs have been a terrible second half team all year. They've been horrible in the second half against teams where they just cannot score and get over the hump. And that's what they did this week too, last week too. They didn't score in the second half.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, so the Ravens defense played that well. You still lost. And then offensively, you had everybody. Like, I know J.K. Dobbins got hurt earlier, but you still have Justice Hill. You still have Gus Edwards. You still have Lamar. And then you have all these receivers. You have Bateman, Flowers,
Odell. Flowers was great, too. I mean, I know he fumbled there, but that's a rookie mistake, but he was good.
You have both tight ends, Andrews and Lake. You have a fully souped up, equipped offense, all your skill guys ready to go. You have Lamar, the MVP. Man, I wish they voted on MVP after the playoffs. Like, maybe between the championship games and the Super Bowl. Because, man, I have a ticket for Purdy or for Christian McCaffrey. And at this point, I feel like Christian McCaffrey, if everyone could vote now after seeing the playoffs, they would go him. Anyway, so it's like the Ravens, you're like, what? Like, where do we go from here? Because we got Lamar the weapons. We had the MVP season. Our defense shut out Mahomes and Kelsey in the second half. So, like, what's the solve? Like, where do we go? It's like, sometimes when you lose a close game, and I get upset this with like the Bills and the Chiefs, it's like, you know what? Sometimes you just lose and it just doesn't go your way. But this one feels like you can't just say you just lost. Like, you have, what are the changes that you're making to this team in order to get over that hump, in order to get Lamar to a Super Bowl? What do you need to do? Or maybe it is.
I'm thinking this, right? And I'm not a Lamar hater. Okay. I'm prefacing with that. I just don't know if Lamar's style of quarterback play will ever lead to beating three or four of the best teams in football 3 or 4 weeks in a row. Because this year he only had to do it 3 weeks in a row to win the Super Bowl, and he did it one, and the Texans weren't one of the best teams in football. They were just a good story this year who happened to win a bad division. But Lamar Jackson, especially, the problem is the second time you face him, he gets easier to play because you know his tendencies. You know how to prepare for him. You know where you got burned the first time because he's going to burn you the first time. Talked about this where I would have rather had the Lions playing the Ravens if they made the Super Bowl. I think that the problem with Lamar is you get a defensive coordinator like Steve Spagnuolo. He played it perfect. Steve Spagnuolo didn't even he barely rushed his guys. The defensive line would half rush. They just would not give up the gaps. And Lamar was doing a great job. I will give him credit for this. He was doing a great job of moving in the pocket so that he could open up a gap for himself, because the gaps weren't opening up because the defensive linemen were just standing there. But they were barely blitzing. They were barely rushing. And they had it covered so well that Lamar couldn't figure out what to do with it. And he couldn't take off when it broke down. I don't know if Lamar is ever going to be a guy who gets there. I don't think he ever wins a Super Bowl. I don't know if he's ever even going to get to one.
I don't want to say that. I think there's too much talent and explosiveness, and sometimes you can run into the wrong team on the wrong day, and hey, maybe the coaches didn't have a game plan coming in. I feel like I saw some insane rushing stats where they like barely ran the ball. Like, it was just Lamar dropping back the pass, and then they had everyone
abandoned in the middle. For some reason.
Yeah, and it's like, I feel like the Ravens have always been like, you know, this, you know, AFC North, like, you know, run it down your throat team playing in the snow and the cold weather and the rain, and just run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. And it just feels like they kind of got away from who they were with that. So it's like, you have these weapons, but if they're going to play that style of defense, I feel like you have to come in with a counterattack or something. Like, like, I don't know. I'm not smart enough to come up with it, but like, you should see what's happening and be able to, I don't know. It was bizarre. I don't know where you go.
Roll with the Stone says, never a Ravens fan. Billy Sims was our first best hope. I appreciate that. That's, you know, Lions all way. I would say right now the biggest problem they're going to have is keeping their defense together, because their defense is great. And I think keeping that together, I don't know what the contracts look like and everything on Baltimore. Again, I think Nick could probably tell us that. He's a huge fan. He's been in the sports. He's been over there in the chat in the Discord blowing it up, which is good. Look, I love it. I love the passion.
Yeah, get in the Discord.
I love it. So it's like, I don't know what their situation is, but keeping that defense is going to be the hardest thing for them, because their offensive players, if you really think about it, Justice Hill's not getting a big payday. Zay Flowers is a rookie. Lamar already got paid. Will is gone. Will just decided he was leaving the podcast. So I guess my point was too good for him that he couldn't keep up anymore. I don't know what the heck just happened with that man. But I'm going to just – oh, here he comes. He's back. Let's see if he wants to hang out. Sorry. I'm sorry for giving good points and you just abandoned me.
Yeah, sorry.
I was just saying how I really do think that, like, across the board, they're offensive players. They're not paying them much. Like, OBJ is done.
Yeah,
they're not paying
he played Andrews. Himself into a $20 million.
Yeah, like, that's it. Yeah. So it's how do you keep the defense intact? You got to keep the defense intact. And what I think the biggest problem for Lamar Jackson is right now, and I think it's honest, it's just one of those things. It's Patrick Mahomes plays on the same side as him. So every time he gets into an AFC game, like Mahomes, this is the worst Chiefs team that we've seen since Patrick Mahomes got there. They were 9-6 at one point. And they're going to the Super Bowl. And personally, I think they're going to win. And I know you're going to disagree with me on that. Maybe we do our predictions for the Super Bowl next week. I don't know. We can do like a brief preview here. But I think that the Chiefs are going to win that game. I really do. And like, I'm not betting against Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs anymore because he's just been there so many times. And even when he doesn't look great, you have all these coaches and all these players who have just been there over and over again. And I worry that like with Lamar and the Ravens, their window is closing. We were talking about the Niners. The window is closing. The window is closing. You got to get over that hump. I just don't know if the Ravens will be able to do it any year that Patrick Mahomes is healthy.
Yeah, and we touched on this last week where it's like, man, Lamar could lose this game and then his legacy, it's like such a big impact. Right. It's like, oh, sorry, you lost to Mahomes and now your legacy is ruined.
Who could go down as the greatest quarterback in NFL history?
You could. Like, it's like, oh, sorry, my bad. Like, I can't be great. Like, maybe I'm not the greatest ever or the greatest of my generation, but I can't be a great player because I lost one game to like the guy who's the best.
Yeah.
Another thing on Lamar too, it's like the Ravens should have had more points. I know he threw that pick in the end zone, which was bad. Like that's just a bad throw, but you know, the Flowers fumble in the
Flowers fumble was such a bad.
It's brutal, throw. Man. It's like, it's not like they were going three and out every drive. Like they were getting,
The second half, they look good. They were moving, getting
more yards. They even outgained the Chiefs maybe in the second half. Like,
and you figure they lost by 7, and they pretty much had 2 touchdowns taken off the board because of the Flowers fumble and the Lamar interception.
Yeah, so those mistakes are killer, and that's going to happen. But it's like, you know, a couple bounces here and there. We could be talking about, wow, what a second half from the Ravens and, you know, rematch of the blackout Super Bowl. So it's like, It's as much as we're saying, hey, Lamar, tough game, all about like that Flowers fumble, man. Like that makes the game so like you almost put that game in the Ravens' favor just because like the Chiefs hadn't been able to do anything offensively.
The second half, they looked really bad.
So it's like, man, you sniff it, you're at home, you're coming back. It almost would have been a similar story to the Niners Lions game where it's like, you're letting the road team get a nice lead. They're feeling a little too comfortable. Just a little bit of momentum there for the home team, and that can light a fire and really turn the game around. So I don't know if the Ravens are that far off. We kind of been shitting on them here, but it's tough. You know,
I just don't know how you get over that hump with him. I think the Bills. Well,
what you need is the Bengals to play the Chiefs in like the divisional round
with a healthy Burrow and have Burrow
and then
Burrow got their number for some reason.
The Burrow can go toe to toe with Mahomes. We've seen it. It's like the only quarterback, I guess Brady too, that's kind of been able to beat those Chiefs teams. So that's what you need. You need Burrow to get in there and then you're on the other side of the bracket. And then it's a AFC North showdown, Ravens, Bengals. For the AFC title game, and then the Ravens somehow beat Burrow, which I love Joe Burrow. I love Joey B.
Yeah.
So it'd be tough to see, but that's your path.
Yeah, it is. Now, what the Ravens do in the offseason will be interesting because Lamar got paid, Lamar's got all the money, but now you got to figure out a way to get to the Super Bowl because, I mean, Harbaugh is a great coach, everything. You just got the number one seed, and you just had the Chiefs come into Baltimore and beat you in the AFC championship game. And like, well, Patrick Mahomes ain't going anywhere anytime soon.
No, that's the crazy thing.
With garbage wide receivers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will say, if you're looking for an early bet at the Super Bowl, I love Isaiah Pacheco's over on rushing yards against the Niners. I think the Lions really showed that the Niners' defensive front is easy to run against when you don't fall behind, and I don't think the Chiefs are going to fall behind. I think Isaiah Pacheco is going to have a pretty great game on the ground on Super Bowl Sunday. Even if they lose the game, I think he's going to be such a focal point. He's had 24 carries in two of the three playoff games. That's insane.
Yeah, he's been great all season. Like, he is one of the few – like workhorse backs where it's like he's getting the ball 20 times. Like, he really is. And he gets big chunks. He rarely gets stopped for like no gain. Like, he always plows forward. And even on bad runs, it seems like he always finds a way to get like 2 or 3 yards.
Yeah. Yeah. He's good. I love the memes of him like running 100 miles an hour too. Those are fun. Mm-hmm. But before we keep talking about the Super Bowl, I do want to reference this one comment over here since we're Miami guys. Matthew C says he's going to be at the UVA Miami game on Monday. Who's winning? This is college basketball. I haven't really followed too much because Miami has not been very good this year.
They lost today.
They lost to NC State by six. That was not today. That was yesterday. We call it 2 days ago. Tuesday night they lost to them. Okay. But I like UVA in that game. If Miami does not play defense, and I think they're going to get frustrated against UVA's defense and their style and their slow pace of play and everything like that. And I just honestly, like, Omir is great. Nigel Pack's okay. He hasn't been shooting as well.
Is Norchad back? He's been hurt too.
I think Norchad played. Yeah, he played against NC State.
Damn. I kept being like, Norchad's out. That's why we're losing. It's fine. He'll come back.
The only game that he didn't play was the one we watched, which was the Syracuse buzzer beater. So,
that was so brutal. We like turned it on for like the last 10 minutes. Hung over as
hell, the two of us just like looking away, like, oh, good. Miami basketball's on. And we just watch a buzzer beater go.
Brutal one. All right, Super Bowl. Something's up with this line, man. Because
I'll tell you, I know what the answer is.
No, let me. Jesus,
Phil. I know the answer. You go first, but I know the answer already.
Well, it opened at Niners by 2.5, and then within like 3 hours or 4 hours, it was down to 1.5. It's like it moved the whole point right away. So clearly, a lot of action came in on the Chiefs. But now that it's, you know, settled in for like 5 days, 4 days, it's now back up to Niners minus 2. Mm-hmm. And if you look at all like the public betting information, it's like DraftKings, I think it's like 83% of the bets are on the Chiefs. And then the line's moving the other way. It's moving towards the Niners. So it's like, I don't know what's going on. I was surprised that we were favored. I mean, just because it's Mahomes and it's Kelce, it's like, why are we favored?
I know why. Let me raise my hand.
Okay.
This is where, at the end of the season, especially with the Super Bowl, think about you. If you had a $10,000 bet right now on the Kansas City Chiefs to win the Super Bowl, you'd probably go, okay, let me bet like $500 on the Niners or something. Let me hedge my bet a little bit, right? Vegas is doing the same thing right now. Vegas has the most liability with the Niners winning the Super Bowl, right? Like, if the Niners win the Super Bowl, they have so many futures bets that are going to pay out that it's going to screw them. Because remember, the Niners have pretty much been favored all year to win the Super Bowl. The thing is,
right, which means their odds are lower. Like, the Niners have been like 300 to 400 at the start, and then maybe plus 280.
The Chiefs have no liability, though, because people never believed in the Chiefs all year. So you weren't getting Super Bowl winning tickets on the Chiefs. You might get them winning the AFC Championship, but you're not getting Super Bowl winning tickets on the Chiefs. So what's happening now is Vegas is like, good, everybody pour your money in on Kansas City, because then if the Niners do win, it offsets all the futures payouts we have to do for the Niners, because Kansas City ended up getting 83% or whatever it is. To me, Kansas City is the winner of this game. I will talk about it, you know, either this episode or we can talk about it. I think we should talk about it next week. I think that makes more sense because it's actually the week of the game. But like in my initial take, I think the Lions really did show that the Niners defense has some weaknesses. And the Lions offense has been really good all year, but the Lions offense wasn't as good as it looked in the first half of that game. And I know they only scored they scored 10 points in the second half. But the thing is, in the second half, the Lions offense, or they scored 7 points in the second half because they didn't kick the field goal. But the Lions offense was moving the ball. They just weren't taking points when they had the opportunity. They could have scored 13. They could have scored 21. We don't know. But I think the Chiefs are going to win this game. I think right now, though, Vegas is just so concerned that you got tickets on you. Even though the Niners are plus 300, plus 400, whatever it is, they also might be sitting there with a whole bunch of preseason bets on Niners over Chiefs exact result. This is a very predictable preseason Super Bowl scenario. So I think that's why.
I don't know. It's hard for me to believe that there's that many future tickets out there compared to the amount of casual bettors who are betting on the Super Bowl with a spread. And I guess that's just, you know, casual bettors, they bet, you know, lower units, you know, smaller bet sizes. Mm-hmm. But just like if you look across like FanDuel, DraftKings, all the ones in Vegas, then all the offshore, it's like the amount of bets that are coming in on totals and spreads and game to game, it's like I can't imagine that futures are making up that high of a percentage of the market where it's like we need to adjust the line based on futures.
I think the thing you have to remember too, though, with futures is a lot of times there's a lot of bettors out there who will bet futures and then bet lines around their futures all year. So you have a bettor who's betting $1,000 on a money line, right? Or a spread throughout the year. That might mean that his futures bet on this one bet is 20 grand. Now, granted, you're going to get $1 million bets on the Super Bowl. Like that is going to happen. But I think because the season is so long, you have so many huge, huge bets out there. The people who like,
but then wouldn't the line be different at different books then? So it's like, okay, if this one book has like more of a liability on their futures than this book over here. I know every line, everyone copies each other now and it settles into a number, but it just feels like if you actually, you know, if you're handicapping this game and you come out that it should be Chiefs minus three, and then it's, you know, Niners, you come out with Niners minus 1.5, Niners minus two, then you're opening yourselves up to liability for everyone who does professional handicapping. And then all the money comes in on the Chiefs getting points. And then you're losing money that way. I mean, I don't know.
Here's what the lines are right now. So Caesars, DraftKings, and Bet365 are all minus two, but FanDuel's up to 2.5 and BetMGM is down to 1.5. So you can see, I know that's not much, but you
know, I know it's crazy though to have a whole point be off in this day and age of copycat.
Yeah. And I think that's where you're starting to see the discrepancy of where am I owed? Where am I not owed?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I think with the Super Bowl, especially when it's less than a field goal, essentially what Vegas
is ESPN bet. Is it like a pick 'em over at ESPN?
ESPN bet has the Niners by 12.5.
Yeah. They didn't have any futures for ESPN bet because they didn't exist yet. So maybe ESPN bet has the truest line. Yeah, let's
check. They have it at two.
They're copying.
Yeah, they have it at two. They're copying. Yeah. But you know, I think when it comes down to it, a Super Bowl line that is less than 3 points, essentially odds makers and stuff are saying, yeah, just pick it. Like just flip a coin, one or the other. Like the odds are the spread's not actually going to come into effect in this game. You'd probably be better off just taking the money line of whatever team you think is going to win, because like whatever team is probably going to win by at least 3 points. So like if you're picking the favorite, if you're picking the Niners, then sure, pick them against the spread. But if you're picking the Chiefs, pick the money line, right? Because you're not getting the hook with the Chiefs. And for this to end as a 2-point game, you'd have to have some funky business happen throughout the game. So they're pretty much signaling that they don't really know, but to make Patrick Mahomes an underdog in this game when they just won the Super Bowl last year, especially with how the Niners looked against
the Lions. That's the biggest thing. It's like, and it's not like it was one game. The Niners didn't look good in the Packers game, and then we didn't look good in the Lions game. Obviously, we have flashes where we look good, and Purdy does make some really, really nice plays. I mean, I talk about that throw to Kittle in the Packers game. It was perfect, and he had some nice throws again. But you're not sitting there watching the Niners being like, man, this team is scary. This team is a threat. Whereas you watch the Chiefs and Lamar Jackson and that offense cannot do anything against that defense. You're like, wow, that is a scary, scary defense.
Yeah.
For the Niners to be favored, it really is baffling to me. And I'm not even predicting that we win the game. I think it's going to be a really close game. Like, I would be surprised if it's like a blowout really either way. I think it's going to be a pretty damn good Super Bowl. And now maybe someone gets a late touchdown and kind of wins by 10. But I think like throughout the game, it's going to be within, you know, it's going to be within 14 points most of the game. It's going to be a 2-possession game, I think.
Yeah. I think the one thing the Niners have to worry about that I don't think the Chiefs necessarily have to worry about is if the Chiefs get the ball first and score a touchdown, that does put some pressure on the Niners. And the offense for the Niners has started slow in both games in the playoffs. And if you start slow against the Chiefs, we saw it last week, their defense is good enough that they can just sit on a lead and sit on a lead and sit on a lead. And that can become a little frightening if you're a Niners fan.
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised. I think we did win the coin toss in the NFC Championship game and deferred. And then I was kind of thinking, like, man, do you really want to, like, what if the Lions score? Like,
yeah, and that's what they did.
Like, then your offense is under the gun and you underperformed against the Packers. Now you're kind of, these things are, you know, coming back to you, entering your head. These doubts are coming quicker than they would have. If you start with the ball, let's run our game plan. Let's shove it, you know, let's go down the field and just put seven on the board. And then you're kind of putting all the pressure on the road team. And I understand, like, hey, the second half, you get the ball first. That's huge. Yes, but a big part of the reason why that was so important was because we went down so many points, and that was, you know, because Lions were able to march it down and score on the first possession. So I think it's just it's a mind game. And I think the Niners, if we win the toss, we should take the ball and say, hey, we're gonna get our weapons out there, and we're gonna prove that we can move the ball on this Kansas City defense. Because if you score on the Chiefs early against that defense, that is the better side of this team, the defense. I know they have Mahomes, but the defense is what has been, you know, their strongest unit. You score on that defense, then it puts a lot of pressure on that team. And I think it makes the Niners play a little looser, more comfortable, maybe even more aggressive on defense. Like, hey, we can go, mm-hmm. we can blitz Mahomes. Like, we don't blitz enough, I don't think. That's something with Goff. He was great, but the second we threw pressure at Goff, it really got to him. And we would just rush forward and drop everyone back, and he would just pick us apart. So I think that's another thing we have to look at. I don't know if we can trust our defensive line to always get home with four, which has been kind of something that was kind of our magical little hack the Niners had, where, hey, if you ever got a really powerful defensive line and you don't need to blitz ever, you can still put pressure on, great. That's going to be a secret weapon. It's going to help your secondary. But that has not been working the past few games. So I'm looking at that, where it's like, if we're not able to get pressure with those four guys, you have to blitz. You have to put some pressure on Mahomes. And I know he's so good at scrambling and moving around. He's good against the blitz, but you can't give him time to just sit back there. He's going to pick you apart. So we'll do a full preview, maybe get some, we'll line up some props. And
probably next Tuesday night, because I'm out of town for the end of next week. So I'm just throwing that out there. We don't have to commit to it now, but we'll be doing the traders on Thursday no matter what, but probably doing this on next Tuesday night, so that I can get it in before I travel. Funny enough, I'm traveling to Kansas City when nobody wants to be in Kansas. Everybody in Kansas City is going to be in Vegas. So I'm going to be the king of the town. We have a real Nicolas Cage here. Say first half over is cash money. I'm trying to find the first half over right now. Where is it?
I don't know.
Do you have a number for that?
I can look it up. I don't have it in front of me.
I'm literally on DraftKings and I just cannot. Oh, there we go. Halves. It is set at 23.5. That's high, man.
I kind of like the over in this game overall, but being honest.
I do like the over in this game as well.
I'll have to look into it.
I
haven't looked enough into it though.
DC Breezy wants to know, are the Niners a zone team or a man-to-man team?
What's that?
Are the Niners a zone team or a man-to-man team?
I think we play both.
I think you were getting burned more against the zone with the Lions.
We mix up our looks. I know we play zone and man-to-man. Yeah.
What do you think about this one, Will? I saw this today. I think it was at BetMGM. There's a couple books that are doing it, but I think BetMGM had the best odds. So Super Bowl, the 2020 Super Bowl. The final score was 31-20. What do you think about an exact score again of the Chiefs winning 31-20 for plus 30,000?
I mean,
meaning if you bet a dollar, you win 300. Is that worth it?
I think if you pick it up, like, take that one. There's also that score floating around. I don't know if you've seen this one, Phil. The Hard Knocks thing with the prediction.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's basically this mentalist, a great mentalist who I've actually heard of and knew who he was before he came on Hard Knocks. He went to the Jets training camp, and it was like this magic trick, essentially, where he had – it was Mecole Hardman, I think. It was like, hey, pick the Super Bowl result. So name the teams and then name the final score. And Hardman's like, oh, it's the Jets and the Niners, and like, this is the score. And then the guy pulls the like, he has a poster board. He flips it over and it's already written out in Sharpie. It's like exactly what he said. How do you do it? I don't know. Maybe it's all a lie. But Hardman's now on the Chiefs. So he moved over. And so the theory is that basically he thought he'd be in the Super Bowl against the Niners. And that now he's on the Chiefs. And the Chiefs are actually against the Niners. And then that same score might hold. I think it was 24-21.
Okay.
But those odds might be pretty bad, though, because I think there's some actually, like, there might be some liability.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people taking it. So, exact scores are crazy. Like, if anything, I kind of like the alt lines. Like, I might take, like, Niners minus, like, 12.5. So then it's, like...
You just give away money. Just light it on fire.
No. Then if we win by 13, like, you can be up a touchdown, and then it's, like, pick six. Game's over.
Minus 13.5, not you guys.
No, I'm going to put money on the night. I hate betting again. People do this where it's like, oh, I'm going to bet the Chiefs. So then
I'm going to tell everybody, bet the Chiefs minus 13.5.
If the Niners lose, then at least I made money on the Chiefs. And it's like, no, if you win, then you're going to be like, why'd I lose money? Yeah. So I don't know. People emotionally hedge like that. I can't do that. I'm going to take some players props, probably on both sides. The trick with the Super Bowl player props, I'll say this now. Look at some unders. I know it's not as fun to root for, but these numbers are also inflated because they know everyone is taking overs and everyone wants to root for their player to catch. But guess what? When you pick a player and the ball doesn't go to them,
exactly.
You can celebrate. So
I want to bring up one more thing and then we can wrap this up. And this doesn't have to be long. I just learned this today, though, and I thought it was amazing. Did you know the Alabama Crimson Tide have never had a player score a point in the Super Bowl?
It's not that. It is they've never Nobody's had a drafted. Player drafted out of coming out of Alabama.
That's insane, though.
Yeah.
That's insane. And it won't change this year. There's nobody there.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That is crazy. I mean, everyone goes, what about Jalen Hurts? No, well, he went to Oklahoma. Yeah, he was drafted out of Oklahoma.
So you have to be
Julio Jones did not score in that, like, Falcons Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's crazy. I just thought that was a crazy stat. I wanted to bring that up. All right, I'll bring up this last question here. This is not related to football at all, but we can just end on this note because I haven't watched it. Pandemonium wants to know if we've ever watched the College Survivor Series like Michigan or Maryland. Will, have you ever watched any of those?
I've heard about the – I think Survivor Maryland was one of like the first big ones.
Big one, yeah.
They would put them on the internet. But no, never watched any of that. I got enough – got a lot of – we got 45 seasons of you know, produced CBS Survivor. I'm sure it's great though, and those are always fun.
Yeah. But I have not watched them, so I couldn't even comment. But that's going to do it for the Film Will Show. Like I said, we'll probably be there next Tuesday is probably what it's going to be looking like. And as we said, go check out all of our other videos that we've been doing, a whole bunch of Survivor content. We just did the Traders recap. Excited to talk about this Super Bowl more in depth next week. And like the video, subscribe to the channel, do all of that. Will keeps asking, when are we going to hit 10.3K? We're at 10,299. So please be.
No, I saw it. It said 10.3.
Oh, did it? Because today I think somebody left because now we're down to 299. But become a patron.
He's leaving.
I don't know. Patreon.com/thespecialist so you can get even more content. And we'll see you next time.
See ya.